It's good to see you, and it's good to be seen, because if you've looked at the title of my sermon, it could have been what people were saying about me this week. Where is that man? I was homesick. I had several people call during the week, and they said, "Is Pastor Bruce there?" And I'd say, "This is he," and they'd say, "Well, no, it's not. It's your dad." "No, this is me." A couple of people. My stepfather didn't recognize me, and my mother didn't recognize me, a few others. Yeah. But that's just the way it is sometimes. We don't recognize. Friday, I was supposed to be over at Friendship Club. And I'm sure they were over there saying, "Where is that man?" But Ed showed up, and he told a few of them that I'd been sick that week, and so they kind of had some understanding. But we're going to look at "Where is that man?" when they're talking about Jesus and talking about God just a little bit, which is a little bit different than "Where is that man?" reference to me, but it's kind of the same thing in that we often say, "Where is that man?" and, oh, once we have the explanation of where or why they're not where we think they're supposed to be, then we're okay with it. So let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Father God, we just come before you this morning. We just give you praise. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we have to praise you and pray with you and be with you each and every day. Lord, we thank you for the testimony that Rick Herring gave yesterday, that we are each, as he put it, mobile arks of the covenant. And when we ask that question, "Where is that man?" we can say, reference to you, "He's in my heart. And where I go, he goes with." Now, Lord, we ask that you, that since we recognize that fact, then that you are here with us, that you would send your Holy Spirit and power right now to illuminate the Scriptures, to bring understanding to our minds, or to show us the truth that you would have here, that you have presented for us here today, that you would have us to take away, to take spiritual nourishment from, that you would have us to grow from and to have better understanding of you from. Lord, we just come before you today wanting to know you better, wanting to love you more, wanting to be more like you. So, Father, we ask that you would work within us and cause that to be so. Now, Father, I ask that you would anoint my words, that as I speak it would be your words. Lord, that the truth that is spoken would be understood and received, and that which is not of you would be gone forever. And now, Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' most precious, most glorious name, amen. Lovely thing about speaking with a cold is that you're probably all going to hear me sniffle, and I apologize, but it's either that or, Ed, you want to preach? No, he's not ready, he said. He's been sniffling all week, too. He's getting better, though. I'm getting better, and now poor Alice is suffering. Encourage her to rest. Pray for her as she goes through this, too. I have notes here somewhere. As I said, I'm kind of not with it. Let's turn the Gospel of John, chapter 7. We're going back now. We're back to our trip through the Gospel of John. And we're chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. I'd like to read together. This is one of those passages of Scripture that I don't know about you, but when I read it, when I've read it previously, I don't know how much attention I gave it. Well, I know how much attention I gave it. Not much. It was kind of going from point A to point B, and it didn't say anything that jumped out and bit me, so I just kind of moved on through. But let's take a little bit closer look at this today, because the Lord tells us each and every part of Scripture is profitable for our instruction. So, Gospel of John, chapter 7, verse 1 reads, "After this, Jesus went around in Galilee, purposely staying away from Judea, because the Jews there were waiting to take his life. But when the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles was near, Jesus' brothers said to him, 'You ought to leave here and go to Judea, so that your disciples may see the miracles you do. No one who wants to become a public figure acts in secret. Since you are doing these things, show yourself to the world.' For even his own brothers did not believe in him. Therefore, Jesus told them, 'The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me, because I testify that what it does is evil. You go to the feast. I am not yet going up to this feast, because for me the time has not yet come.' Having said this, he stayed in Galilee. However, after his brothers had left for the feast, he went also, not publicly, but in secret. Now at the feast, the Jews were watching for him and asking, 'Where is that man?' Among the crowds, there was widespread whispering about him. Some said, 'He is a good man.' Others replied, 'No, he deceives the people.' But no one would say anything publicly about him for fear of the Jews." It's not a real clear passage. It doesn't jump out and grab me, at least not the first time through. But a couple times through, it did. And just the other day when I was going through this, it was the phrase that says, "Where is that man?" that just jumped out and grabbed me. And to me, right now, that's what that whole passage is kind of focusing around, is the phrase, "Where is that man?" See, it's all about expectations. We have Jesus' brothers telling me, "I ought to be doing this, I ought to be doing that," if he's to meet their expectations of what they, who they say he is, or who he said, again, in order to meet their expectations. He should be doing this. And we have these people saying, "Well, where is he?" Because by their expectations, he ought to be there. He ought to be doing this. He ought to be doing that. It's all about expectations. Some expectations sometimes are realistic. Some are unrealistic. Some are somewhere in the middle, and some are just outright self-absorbed. Some people are so self-absorbed that all their expectations revolve around that. "Well, why wasn't this ready for me yet? You knew I was coming." "Well, I had this going there." "Well, why weren't you?" You know, it's all about them. And what it turns out is, when we look, is we see that most of us, or at least me, are self-absorbed and have unrealistic expectations. And the world, here, these people, say, "Well, where is he? Why isn't he doing that thing that we saw the other week, which we want to see again?" You know, remember, this comes after the feeding of the 5,000, the explaining that he is indeed the bread of life and that they need to eat his flesh and drink his blood, and, you know, that whole conundrum that the he was speaking of spiritual, and they couldn't get past it. Why? Expectations. You know, he's talking and just going right by him because they weren't looking for it. They're having discussions. Is he good? Is he devious? People have that discussion about God all the time yet today. Is God good? Well, we say in our statement of faith that God is by his very nature good. I believe that that's what the Bible teaches. But then we have all sorts of people say, "But why doesn't God do this? Or why doesn't God do that? Why does he allow this? Why does he allow that?" And again, it's all based on what? Personal expectations and the self-centeredness of our expectations. Where is that man? God, Jesus. Where? Why isn't he doing what I want him to do right now? Why is it that I don't understand what he did? Again, the expectations. His brothers didn't understand why he wasn't going certain places and doing certain things. And he tries to explain it to them. The right time for me has not yet come. For you, any time is right. The right time for me. See, I'm not like you. But we keep trying to define God by us. I try to find God by me. You try to define God by you. It's kind of the way we are. At least if you're like everybody else I've ever met. You know, maybe you don't. I don't want to make anybody... How do I just put this? I don't want anybody to feel like I'm pushing on you or making you saying, putting words in your mouth. But what I have found, and as I look at this, I see, is that mankind in general, people in general, we define things by what we know, by our personal wisdom, our knowledge, our experience. That's how we define stuff. It's how we know to define things. And what God has told us is, you can't know me. You can't define me that way. He's given us a definition of himself as best as we can understand. It's here. It's the Bible. You see, we keep trying to conform God into our image in order to define him. And that doesn't work. God will not, God cannot be conformed to our image. We have to allow ourselves to be conformed into his image. Now, the more we allow him to conform us into his image, the more we will understand him. We will never gain understanding of the Lord by trying to define him by ourselves. But we will gain understanding of him as we allow him to define us. It's kind of a difficult proposition. The more I try to put my knowledge towards God, the more confused I get. And it's a trap that we keep falling into time and again. Oh, the Lord is conforming more into his image. Okay, well then I'm more like God, so now I can define God more. Well, no. Every time I try to do that, I'm going to make that left turn. Left for you is this way, right? That's right. Pat understands that I can't tell my left from my right. Everybody else just... Psh. Yeah, the other right. But we're confused. And God isn't. So where is that man? Where is God good? Is God bad? We keep trying to define him with these messages. Where he's doing, where he's at. And saying, God, you're supposed to be here doing this. Why? Because that's my expectation. Where did I get that expectation? Did God tell me he was going to do that? Or did I say, God, you're going to do this? We get things backwards, reverse order. We cannot find definition of God through our experience and our understanding and our wisdom. We find it through him defining us, conforming us to his image. We find it by spending time with him, praying, reading His Word, being obedient to His will. That is how we find where God is and who He is. Expectations. So what expectations should I have of God? Well, my expectation should be that God is true to what He says He's going to be true to. And to find that, I need to read this. But I need to remember that when I read this, the Bible, that I don't try to interpret the Scripture by my wisdom or my understanding or my experience as much as by Scripture. Use Scripture to interpret Scripture. This Word is God's Word. It tells us who He is. Every time we try to turn around and say, this is what God is, we are invariably going to be off somewhere, somehow, just a little bit. We will never get it right. Okay, I don't mean to tell you that to frustrate you, to tell you that you cannot know God. So we can't know God by seeking to impose upon Him, as we can know God by submitting to Him and allowing Him to work in us and through us. The more the Lord works through me, the more I will know Him. The more I attempt to work through God. In other words, trying to conform God to what I want. Then the more I'm going to get confused. Again, God cannot and will not be conformed to our image. But we need to be conformed to His. And it's through that, as He conforms us into His image, that we find where He is and who He is. And right expectations will come. I have a sense right now that I have missed the boat with you, with most of you. Maybe I'm right, maybe I'm wrong. Hopefully, what I'm trying to, the one point I'm trying to say today, is that do not seek to say, this is God, and make God fit into that box. You'll never do it. Instead, seek and say, God, who are You? And allow Him to tell you. Through His Word, through Him working through you and conforming you into His image, He will tell you. And you will know Him in such a way that only you can know, and such a way that works only in that manner. You will not be able to write out an expectation list of God that is not incumbent upon your personal expectations. So instead, what I'm asking you to do is, instead of going to God with expectations, it's just going to God being expectant. Again, hopefully I'm not losing people here, and I'm not being too trying to draw too fine a line. But Jesus will not do things always according to our expectation. because He is God. And we need to recognize that. And then be willing to live with that. Let's pray. Father, it is only You who would have come up with the idea that the right way for all of mankind to be saved was for You to come Yourself to die for our sins. There's no way we ever would have come up with such an idea. Lord, there's no way we would ever know the right timing for when it is time for You to present Yourself to the world. Is this year good? Is next year better? What is the perfect time? Well, only you know the time and the place that was perfect and right, and You fulfilled it. But Lord, You've told us that any time is right for us, for You and for me, for those of us here. Lord, You've told us that. So Lord, help us to present ourselves to the world as Christians, as servants and followers of Christ. Lord, that now is good. Tomorrow is good. But now is always the best time for us. Father, we just ask that You would help us to have an understanding of where You are, that You are indeed living within our heart when we receive You as our Lord and Savior. That "where is that man" is a phrase that we can answer with "right here in my heart." Lord, help us to have expectations that are according to You in Your will. Lord, that we wouldn't get confused with the wisdom of man, with the wisdom of self, with the wisdom of the world. But instead that we would allow You to define Yourself within us. That as we read Your Word, You would speak to our hearts. That as You work in our lives, You would conform us. That You would open our eyes to see You working in ourselves and in those around us. And then we would understand. That You would give us that supernatural understanding that comes through seeing with the Holy Spirit and through Your interaction with us, because we can't have it through our own wisdom. I can't teach it with my human words and my human and limited understanding. But You can. And I thank You and praise You for that. So Lord, teach each of us who You are, as only You can. And conform us to Your image, Lord. And keep us from trying to conform You to ours. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll ask the elders to come forward and